And we're going to start today. Our daf is Kaf Tet, but we still have part of Kaf Chet Amud Bet to finish up. And I want to just go back. For this, you can look at the page, just to what we were up to. The Gemara, Rava said, HaTokeh L'Shir, right? Amar Rava Zot Omeret, after they talked about the forcing people to eat matzah, right? Rava said, Zot Omeret HaTokeh L'Shir Yetza, right? And then they say, from here we learn that it must be that Rava holds that mitzvot ein srichot kavanah, that you don't need intent to do a mitzvah. And then they asked a whole bunch of questions on him, and now we're up to the fourth one. So the fourth one, Abaye says, from here you can, if you're going to say mitzvot en srichot kavanah, he brings an example not from a kiyum mitzvah, but ishua bal tosif. So if you sleep in the sikkah on Shmini Atzeret, then you're going to get malkot, according to what you're saying. And clearly that doesn't happen. You don't get malkot on bal tosif sleeping in the sukkah. So then, the first answer given, which we're going to eventually, not exactly reject, but they're going to a little bit reject one of the proofs, and then they're going to say, and the truth is they kind of answer the, we're going to have two answers. The first one isn't really pushed off. They try to push it off a bunch of times, we'll see, and then there's going to be a second answer. But the first answer given is, you're not over on Baal Tosif unless it's during the time that you're able to do the mitzvah. Now, the time of the mitzvah is what's critical. Once the time passes, like once Sukkot is over, there's no issue anymore Baal Tosif. So Rav Shemin Bar Abba asks the question, and he says, what about a Kohen, Shole LeDuchan? We learn in a Braita that a Kohen that goes up to bench the people, once he finishes his brachot, he's not allowed to add an extra bracha. And they learn it out from Baal Tosif, Lo Tosif Wal Hadavar. So what do you see? The time passed, and yet he's not allowed. He's still Baal Tosif. So the answer given is, first they try to say maybe he didn't finish the bracha, then they say it says in the Braita he finished. Then they say maybe he didn't finish all the bracha, but they say no, it says in the Braita, another Braita, he finished all the bracha. Okay? Then they say, in this case, there's no issue. Why? Because while it's true he finished blessing the people, the opportunity for him to bless the people continues all throughout the day. So the whole day is kasher for him to bless the people, and therefore if another group of people came by and he wanted to bless them, he'd be allowed to. Okay, so therefore, what do we learn? That the time of the mitzvah, just because he finished blessing them, doesn't mean that the mitzvah passed. The time of the mitzvah, it's still bismana, and therefore you can have bal tosif when it's still bismana. So now they say, where do we know this from? How do we know that this is true, that this is an issue about whether it's that the fact that you still have potential to do the mitzvah means that it's you could still be over on Baal Tosif, even though you finished that actual mitzvah, but the potential for continuing to do the mitzvah still exists. So now they're going to bring this case from a Mishnah about the Matan Damim on the Mizbeach. Okay, so we're going to read from right where the lines get wide. Ditznan. Okay, the right before it says Uminatamer. Where do we know this from? Ditznan, Hanitanim b'matana achat, shenidarvu b'nitanim matana achat, yinatnu matana achat. What if you have blood? Now, the blood, there were different bloods. Some need to be sprinkled on one of the karnot ha-mizbeach, and some on four of the karnot ha-mizbeach. There's a picture here in the Koran. There's a bit of a difference of opinion about what kind of damim we're talking about, and how they're sprinkled, and where they're sprinkled. There's Shtayim Shein Arba, which means, you can look at this picture here. What they're explaining here is that the Shtayim Shein Arba, what do? You sprinkle the blood on the lower part of the Mizbeach, on the corner, but the blood goes on both sides. So Shtayim Shein Arba doesn't mean you put it in all four corners. It means there's two sprinklings, which end up on all four sides of the Mizbeach. Okay, but really it's, in other words, it's only on two corners, but it ends up on all four sides because you sprinkle the blood part on one wall and part on the other in that corner, right? The corner, kind of once you sprinkle blood, it's going to come out on both sides. So, okay, I don't want to get into too many details about this matan damim because we have a lot to do. So now, if you have blood, and what happens? You're in the Beit HaMikdash, we can imagine this, right? The blood of one animal gets mixed up with the blood of another animal. So it all depends now how many times you're supposed to sprinkle that blood. If you have blood that was supposed to be sprinkled once and it's mixed up with blood that's supposed to be sprinkled once, very simple. We sprinkle it one corner. Matan Arba, the Matan Arba, what if you have blood that needs to be sprinkled on all four sides like we just showed? And it mixes up with blood that's supposed to be sprinkled on all four sides. You're not new, but Matan Arba. Okay, very simply. We'll put them then on all four sides. Matan arba v'matan achad. What if blood that's supposed to be sprinkled four times gets mixed up with blood that's supposed to be sprinkled once? Okay, now, just to refresh your memories, Baal Tosif has two aspects to it. Baal Tosif means you can't add on the mitzvot, but it also, Baal Tigara, you can't do less than the mitzvah either. So now we're going to be stuck with this problem. If you do four and it was really supposed to be one, then you're being Mosif. And if you do one and it was really supposed to be four, then you're Baal Tigra. You've done too little. So now we have a machloket. Rabbi Elazar Omer, yinatnu b'matan arba. You do four. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, yinatnu b'matan achat. You do one. Amar lo Rabbi Elazar, harehu over al Baal Tigara. Right? You're over on Baal Tigara if you only do one. Amar lo Rabbi Yeshua, harehu over al Baal Tosif. You're over on Baal Tosif. Amar lo Rabbi Elazar, lo ne'amar Baal Tosif ela keshehu ba'atzmo. There's no issue of adding to a mitzvah if it's now in a mixture. When the mitzvah isn't there by itself, then there's no issue of Baal Tosif. Amar lo Rabbi Yeshua, lo ne'amar Baal Tigara ela keshehu ba'atzmo. He says also the same thing about Baal Tigara. Don't tell me it's a problem with Baal Tigara because it's keshehu ba'atzmo. Keshehu ba'atzmo, there's no issue of Baal Tigara. V'oramar Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Yeshua adds, Kishelo natata avarta al Baal Tigara v'lo asita ma'aseh biyadecha. Kishenatata avarta al Baal Tosif asita ma'aseh biyadecha. What does he say? He says very smartly, I'm saying just do one. Just don't do all four, right? But I'm not doing a ma'aseh. You're doing a ma'aseh by adding an extra three possibly, right? It depends whether it was, right? It's a safek. We don't know if it was one or four. By adding, you're actually doing, right? There's sheval taseh and there's go do an act, right? I'm just not doing anything. That's not Baal Tigara. I'm just not doing it. But you're actually doing a ma'aseh biyadecha, and that's already going, once you do that, then you're really over on Baal Tosif. Now, what's the whole relevance of this for our issue? V'ha-hacha kevan di-yav le-matana mi-bachor avre le-lizmane. V'katane da-aver mishum Baal Tosif. Lav mishum da-aminan kevan di-ilu mitrami le-bukhor achrina hader mazimine kule yoma. Okay, let's wait for 1 minute. Let's start explaining first. First step is to say, v'ha-hacha, what do we see here? Since he gave a matana mi-bachor, okay, as soon as he does, according to Rabbi Eliezer, there's an issue of Baal Tosif. According, right, Rabbi Yeshua says to Rabbi Eliezer, you have an issue of Baal Tosif. When you, let's say it was really only supposed to be one, and you did it on all four, what's the issue now? When you start to do it, the number two, number three, and number four, it's no longer the time of the mitzvah, because you've already did your one corner. So now, according to what we've said, it shouldn't be Baal Tosif, because it's not Bizman HaMitzvah anymore.
But it's the same argument as having, with the Kohanim having finished, but
that's exactly what they're trying to say. Yeah. So that's what they're trying to prove. They're trying to prove the Kohen case where we said, if an opportunity presents itself during the day, he can still do it, and therefore it's still Bizman of the Mitzvah.
It's not so like it's nighttime or something.
So that's what they're saying. It's exactly that what they're trying to prove. So that's why I said we're just going step by step first. So number one, what do you see? The time of the Mitzvah already passed. And it still says Kavar Mishum Baal Tosif. Isn't it because exactly what we're saying? Lav Mishum de Amrina. And isn't it because we're saying Kevan de Ilu Mitrami Le Bukhar Achrina Hadar Mazemine? He's a Kohen, right? He's doing the stuff on the Mizbeach. Now, if another Bukhar came that day, he would then do the four corners, right? He would put stuff on the corners of the Mizbeach. So what do you see here? You see that what do you see? Kule Yoma Zmane, right? The whole day must be the time for the mitzvah. And therefore, just like we said with the Kohen, that's why he's over on Baal Tosif. Also here, that's why he'd be over on Baal Tosif. Okay? So now, what do you see? You see that even though this particular mitzvah was over, while you're still in the potential for mitzvah, as opposed to which case? Sukkah, where you're no longer in the potential for the mitzvah when it's on the eighth day. Okay, that's the distinction here. Okay, so now, right, this was all to answer Rav Shemin Bar Abba's question about the Kohen, right? He brought up this question of the Kohen, right, it's not the Zman of the Mitzvah, and we answered, no, it's still potentially Zman of a Mitzvah, because he could do another Mitzvah that day. So now, what do they say? No, you can't necessarily prove it from here, Because Dilma Kasava Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Yeshua asked that question on Rabbi Elazar about Baal Tosif, and assumes it's Baal Tosif, what could you say? Kasava Rabbi Yeshua, mitzvot over alehen afilu shelo bizmanam. You could just simply say that he is of a different opinion, that you could be over on Baal Tosif afilu shelo bizmanam. In other words, they're saying there was clearly different opinions about whether you could be over on Baal Tosif shelo bizmanam or whether you couldn't be. Okay, how do we know? Because part of the issue on Shmini Atzeret, some people do say, that the whole issue of Shmini Atzeret, why do some people in Chutz La'aretz, right? In Chutz La'aretz, the whole problem. Some of the opinions say the problem is Baal Tosif, right? That if you eat on the eighth day in the Sukkah, it looks like you're having 8 days of Sukkot, and you can't do that. So because of that, there's clearly two different opinions. Some people say it's Bizmana, and some people say Afilu Shelo Bizmana. So now, they're going to now bring a different, they're going to say, how this really is mechazek. First, they tried to bring this to be mechazek, Rav Shemin Bar Abba, sorry, to be mechazek the terutz against Rav Shemin Bar Abba. Now, they're explaining it in this way. Anan hachi kamrina. When we brought this, what did we say? Rav Shemin Bar Abba, my time as shavik matnitin umotiv mi breita, lotiv mi matnitin. If you have an option of taking a Braita or a Mishnah to use for whatever purposes you want to use it for, okay, in this case, Rav Shemin Bar Abba brought a question from a Braita, the Braita of the Kohen. But wouldn't it have been better had he brought the Bechor case? Because the Bechor case is a Mishnah. You're always better off bringing a Mishnah if you can. So what do they say? Why did he bring the Braita and not the Mishnah? So they say, Matnitin my time a low motive. Why didn't he bring it? In other words, the Mishnah, this is still the continuation of the question. The Mishnah says that what? It's a Bechor, right? And if another Bechor came along that day, it would still, he would have to bring it. So therefore, it's still the time of the mitzvah. Breitanami, the Kohen has the same issue. And therefore, kuleyom is mane. So now what do they say? No, there's a distinction between these two cases. For Rav Shemin Bar Abba, Hatam, what would he say? There, in the case of the Bechor, he didn't bring it. Why? Lo sage de lo yahif. It can't, the Kohen doesn't have a choice. If a Bechor comes his way, he has to deal with it. And therefore, it's really Zman Mitzvah. And that's why he didn't bring that case. Okay? But Hacha, with the case of the Kohen, he doesn't, if somebody comes his way, he doesn't have a chiyuv to bless the people. What's his chiyuv? His chiyuv is to bless the people once a day. Once he blesses them, he's no longer obligated to bless them again. So yeah, while it could be, potentially, people could come during the day, that's not a good case of zmana. Okay? And therefore, what do we prove here? Just 1 second. This is all coming to prove why Rav Shemin brought the Kohen case. Now, Rav Shemin was bringing, right, just look back at the top of the sheet. The question that Abai asked was about Hayashem B'Shmini B'Sukkah Yolkeh. The answer given was, Mitzvot Eino Over Alehen Ela Bizmanam, right? And then Rav Shemin asked from the Kohen case, okay? Because Rav Shemin said, here you see a case where, 1 second, Aval is money, right? Where you see the time pass, and yet he still was over on Baal Tosif. So they're saying that that's a stronger case because in that case it's only reshut for the Kohen. So it's less bizmana than the other case. Okay, but the other case is a real bizmana because clearly, even though you finish this bechor, any more bechorim can come your way otherwise. So that's why he brought that case. Okay. Now, so in the end, we have this answer that mitzvot eino over alehen ela bizmanam. That's one possible answer. But what we did see is that there's a machloket about it, and it's not clear cut. There are some people that say that you are over even shelo bizmana. Okay. And then you have Rav Shemin's question, which we kind of answered up. But anyway, we have this answer, but we're going to now bring a new answer. Rava Amar latzei lo bai kavana, lavor bai kavana. Yes, great answer. What does he say? To be yotze a mitzvah. Remember, what's our whole question? He said mitzvot ein tricho kavana. And Abai asked the question, not from a kiyum mitzvah, but from Baal Tosif. What's considered Baal Tosif? And what do you see? You see from Hayashem B'Shmini B'Sukkah Yilkeh, and as he says, you would think Hayashem B'Sukkah B'Shmini Yilkeh, and everybody knows you don't get Malko for it. So what do you see here? There's no Baal Tosif without Kavana. You clearly need Kavana to be over on Baal Tosif. So Rava makes a great distinction. He says, to be Yotzei a mitzvah, you don't need Kavana. But to be over on Baal Tosif, you need Kavana. Because Baal Tosif is only a problem when you intend to be Mosif. If you were Mosif, not Bechavana, you just happen to be sitting in your sukkah the next day, that's not considered Baal Tosif. Because Baal Tosif means you're adding to a mitzvah. You're not meaning to add to a mitzvah, right? You're just doing an act, which isn't, right? But to be Mekayim a mitzvah, since you're doing the act of a mitzvah, if you sit randomly in the sukkah on Sukkot, you're clearly Mekayim the mitzvah. No one would say, oh, you're not Mekayim the mitzvah because you didn't intend to sit in your sukkah.
Case, so then how could any of them have tried to keep 2 days of Yom Kippur?
Why?
Because it could be Baal Tosif.
Baal Tosif. Yeah. So people said that was possibly an issue of Baal Tosif. But you could say, right. So the question is, what does it mean to be Mosif? Mosif is when there's a particular set quantity of something, like 7 days in the sukkah, and you now want to add 8, or 4 totafot in your tefillin, and you want to add 5. It's not clear that adding another day and being machmir, that maybe today is, let's give a different example. There's no problem with Baal Tosif on eating matzah an 8th day on the 8th day of Pesach, 2nd day of Yom Tov. The issue is sitting in the sukkah, where it says sit in the sukkah 7 days, and you're now sitting in the sukkah an extra day. I don't think it comes up on matzah anyway. I don't remember ever hearing that. But so sitting in a sukkah is like a noticeable thing that would kind of indicate, oh, you're adding an extra day because it says 7 days eating the sukkah, and you're adding an 8th. When it comes to Yom Kippur and just being machmir to fast 2 days in a row, I don't think anyone would look at that at a Baal Tosif. Although, not that nobody would. I think one of the issues that came up there when he was keeping 2 days was somebody said it's an issue of Baal Tosif. So, but you could see that there's a bit of a distinction there. It wouldn't be so clear-cut that that's Baal Tosif. Okay. It's a very big issue, exactly how you define Baal Tosif. It's not clear. There's a lot of machlokot about it. What exactly comes under the context of Baal Tosif? Because lots of things could be adding, right? We add chumrot all the time. When does a chumra become Baal Tosif? It's very tricky to know the exact definition, and there's a lot of arguments about it.
What's worse is when does a chumra not become a Baal Tosif, and then you add a chumra on the chumra.
Right, exactly. Okay. So now, that's Rav's answer. Now they ask, V'ha matan to the Rabbi Yoshua, de la avor v'lo bai kavana. But then they say, but the matan damim of Rabbi Yoshua, what was the case, right? He said you can be over on Baal Tosif, right? Even though you didn't have intent to be over on Baal Tosif, right? V'halo below bai kavana. So what, 1 second. So here, right, v'ha matan damim sh'yamot kavim b'sh'ar no tablet. Right. In other words, when you did that arba, right, the 4, you weren't intending to do a mitzvah. You were intending just if it was a matan arba, but if it was a matan echad, you weren't intending to do arba. You weren't intending to be over on Baal Tosif. So what do they say? So now Rava re, right there, it's a case of Baal Tosif, and you also didn't have kavana. So what does Rava say? He says, well, let me clarify. Latzeit lo bai kavana. Lavor bizmano lo bai kavana. If it's still bizman ha-mitzvah, you also don't need kavana, okay? But kishe lo bizmana, he makes a distinction between the b'chor case, where it's still bizman ha-mitzvah, le'umat, the shelo bizmana, the yashem b'sukkah. When it comes to yashem b'sukkah, when it's already not the time, then you really need kavana. But if you're still within the time frame of the mitzvah, okay, like the b'chor, the kohen case, then he would agree that you're over on Baal Tosif, even without kavana. Okay, so basically, he makes a distinction, an extra distinction in his words, to say, to be yotzei a mitzvah, you don't need kavana. To be over on Baal Tosif, when you're still within the time frame of the mitzvah, you don't need kavana. When do you need kavana? If you want to be over, right, if you want to transgress Baal Tosif, shelo bizman ha-mitzvah, then you need kavana. Okay. Now, we're going into other issues relating to kavana and tkiyat shofar. Amalei Rabbi Zera l'shami, he said to his shamash, ichaven utkali. Have kavana to be motzi me and blow the shofar. Alma, what do you see from here? Kasever mashmiya bai kavana. It sounds like the person blowing the shofar, and here we're going to get to a question that one of you asked earlier, I forget who, I think maybe Naomi, you asked, but I don't remember. The mashmia needs kavana. The one who blows the shofar has to have kavana. Now, what's the problem? Meitive, we're going to bring a koshi from our Mishnah. Haya over acharei beit hakneset, o shaya beito samuch lebeit hakneset, v'shama kol shofar o kol megila, im kiven libo yatsa. V'im lav lo yatsa. What do you see? If the person who needed kavana here, the person walking me'acharei beit hakneset, but clearly the Baal Tokea doesn't know that this guy's walking behind the Beit HaKnesset. He's intending to be mostly the people he sees. And here, if you happen to just be passing by, you're Yotze. How could you be Yotze? Doesn't the Mashmia need Kavana? V'chiki ben libo ma'ave. Heach lo kamachave nadate dide. That's even if I have Kavana, I want to be Yotze, I'm walking past this Beit HaKnesset, but the guy who's blowing has no Kavana for me. So what do they say? Ah, there's a distinction. Hacha b'shliach tzibor askina. The case of going acharei beit hakneset is when there's a shliach tzibur. Didate akule alma. His intent, and this is what I answered then, his intent is that everybody who listens to me, he doesn't specifically say I'm being motzi all the people in this room, right? He just says, everybody who hears me, I'm motzi. Tashma nitkaven shomea velo nitkaven mashmia. So now we have another question from a braita. Another question. Nitkaven shomea v'lo nitkaven mashmia. Nitkaven mashmia v'lo nitkaven shomea lo yatsa. What do you see from this? Each side needs to have kavana, right? If it's the shomea or the mashmia, if either one of them doesn't have kavana, you're not yotze. Ad shi itkaven shomea u'mashmia. Both the Baal Tokea and the guy listening have to have kavana. Katane, and now the braita, there's a braita on this, and what is it? This is the Braita, what we just read. But now, what are they saying? They're being medayek in the Braita. Katane mashmia dumia de shomea. In this Braita, what do you have? You have a shomea and you have a mashmia. And they're both very parallel. You see that in the Braita? They're incredibly parallel. If this one or that one, right, both need kavana, it's exactly the same. So what do they say? Mashomea shomea latzmo. What kind of, it must mean that their kavanot are also the same. What does that mean? Shomea has kavana. What does it mean? He has kavana to be yotze himself. Af mashmia, mashmia latzmo. Therefore, also the Baal Tokea must mean what? He has kavana for himself. Okay? So now, v'katane lo yotze. Lo yotze. And what do you see? That he has to have kavana for, 1 second. Af mashmia, mashmia latzmo. That indicates that he needs to have kavana for, if he doesn't shomea la'atzmo, af mashmia la'atzmo, and he doesn't have kavana until he has both. So now, this seems to indicate that the mashmia by kavana, right. What did we say? This is all to ask a question on what Rabbi Zeira did. What did Rabbi Zeira do? Rabbi Zeira said to his shamash, have kavana for me. But what do you see from this braita? He doesn't need to have kavana for me. He only needs to have kavana that he's doing the mitzvah of tkiyat shofar for himself. And once he has kavana for himself, then he's motzi me. So why did he have to tell him that? So now they say, not to worry. There's a machloket tana'im about it. And don't worry about this source, because this source is only one opinion. But Rabbi Zeira held by the other opinion. How do we know? So they say, tanahi. It's a machloket. Detanya shomea shomea latzmo. Umashmia mashmia lefi darko. So now, in this braita, the Tanakhama says exactly what we just said. The Shomea has to have intent for himself. The Mashmia, the Baal Tokea, is just Mashmia the Fidarko. He doesn't need to have Kavana for anyone else. He's just Mashmia for himself. Some people say that the Nusach, they have a corrected Nusach, and the Dictuke Sofrim, it also appears, Mashmia la'atzmo lefidarko. Okay, and that makes more sense here, or at least it's more clear cut what the opinion is. V'amar Rabbi Yossi, b'me dvarim amurim b'shliach tzibur. Ababa Yachid, lo yetze ad shi yitkaven shomea u'mashmia. That's in the Shliach Tzibur. The Shliach Tzibur says, I'm going to be motzi myself, and with that it's intended that everyone else is going to be yotze. But the Yachid needs, if you ask someone to blow shofar for you, he has to have intent for you. And that's Rabbi Zeira's opinion, right? Rabbi Zeira went with the opinion of Rabbi Yossi that if you're doing it be yachidut, you need the guy to actually have kavana for you. Okay. Since we were talking about kavana, the mission now brings some cases. This is a more machshavti kind of Mishnah, at least the beginning part of it. And you're going to see the Gemara doesn't even deal with it at all. But they're going to bring some cases where you see that Kavanat HaLev was very significant. Two cases in the Torah. V'hayak asher yarim Moshe yado v'gavar Yisrael. Okay, when, right, in Amalek, remember? As soon as he lifted up his hands, v'gavar Yisrael. And the Mishnah asks, v'chi yadav shel Moshe osot milchama ushtavrot milchama? What does that mean? How did Moshe's hands do the milchama, right? Okay, his hands are up, he wins. His hands are down, they're losing. Ela lomar lecha, kol zman shehayu Yisrael mistaklim klapei mala u'mishabdim et libam laviyam shebashamayim, hayu mitgabrim, v'im lav hayu noflim. It was all about the kavanat halev of the people. Right? When Moshe's hands were up, the people would look up at his hands and they would think about God. And then they would win the war. But when his hands were down, then they wouldn't. Kayotze b'davar ataomer, aseh lecha sarat v'simoto al nes. V'haya kol hanashuch b'ra'ah oto v'chai. Remember the nachash nechoshet? So there was a magefa, and they put up this big nachash nechoshet, right? And then they put a simoto al nes, means make it like a banner where everyone will see it. And everyone who was bitten would see it, and they would come back to life, right? They would not come back to life, but they would be cured. V'chi nachash meimito, nachash mechaye. Right? What's the problem with these two cases? It looks like avodah zarah. Both of them seem like avodah zarah, right? They're, especially the nachash nechoshet. I mean, you have this, right? And even Moshe, right? All the time, it's this issue of a leader. Are people worshiping the leader? Right? His hands are up. It's almost like he's a god or something. So both these cases, the rabbis take it, and they say it must be that something else was going on here. Ela b'zman sh'Yisrael mistaklim klapei mala, right? Everyone would go to the nachash nechoshet, they would look at it. So what does that mean, they would look at the nachash nechoshet? Clearly, it didn't mean they'd look at the nachash nechoshet, but they'd be mistaklim klapei mala. U'mishabdim et libam la'aviyam shebashamayim. So when they would do that, hayu mitropim. V'im lav hayu nimokim. Okay, if not, they would be, they would get sicker and die. Okay, so here we have two cases where you see that Kavanat HaLev, right, save the people. So they're trying to kind of stress the importance of Kavanah, okay? If we talk about Kavanah for a mitzvah, here we're talking about Kavanah for, for being saved and thinking about God and what you're doing, and that acts can be a totally different act, whether you, right? In other words, if you look up at the Nachash Nechoshet, but you weren't thinking about God, well, then you die, basically. And if you were doing it, and there, you can see the flip side when it comes to mitzvot. Doing it without really having any intent is not really doing a mitzvah. And they're trying to stress the importance of the Kavanat HaLev LaShamayim. Cheresh shoteh v'katan, ein motzi'in et harabim yedei chovatan. Okay, now, we have a very important thing. If you're patur from a mitzvah, okay, a cheresh shoteh v'katan are considered that they don't have da'at, right? The cheresh, he's deaf. A shoteh, his brain doesn't function properly. And a katan is not higia l'gil mitzvot. They can't blow the shofar for others, okay? They can't be motzi others in a mitzvah. Zeh haklal. Kol she'eno mechuyav b'davar, eino motzi et harabim yidei chovatan. And this is a big issue when it comes to all sorts of mitzvot, right? Who can be motzi people for kiddush, and who can be motzi people for anything, right? So if you're not mechuyav, then you can't be motzi. So now we're going to get into all sorts of issues relating to different types of people and who they can be motzi. Tana Rabbanan. Hakol chayvim b'tkiat shofar, kohanim v'leviyim v'yisraelim. Gerim v'avadim v'shuchurim, gerim v'yisraelim. Gerim v'avadim v'shuchurim v'tumtum v'androngidus, misha chetzio eve v'chetzio ben chorin, tumtum eino motziat lo et mino v'lo et she'eno mino. Okay, so now they're saying all these people are chayav in tkiat shofar, okay? The kohen, the levi of Israel, the ger, the eved meshuchrar. Remember we learned about an eved meshuchrar, it means an eved kanani, who then becomes free and he becomes like a Yisrael. The tumtum is someone who his simanei zecharut and nikevut are covered. And we don't know, is he a male or a female? We're going to see the difference between him and an androgynous that has both simanim of a male and female, okay? The tumtum, it's a safek, we just don't know who he is. Some tumtums can be really nikevot and some can be zecharim. An androgynous has simanim of both, and the issue is that he really is both. The question is, halachically, how do we treat him? It's not a safek in that person. What is this person considered? Where the tumtum is a safek, what is this person considered? Could be zachar, could be nekeva. The androgynous is just, how do we deal with androgynous ba'ofen klali? All androgynous are the same. It's just we don't know how to deal with them. They're safek. Misha chatzio eve v'chatzio ben chorin. Right, what happened? Let's say he's owned by two masters. One master freed him, the other one didn't. So now we're going to talk about all these people of chayav to hear tkiat shofar, but not all of them can be motzi others. Tumtum eino motzi lo et mino velo et she'eino mino. A tumtum can't be motzi people who are like a tumtum or anybody else. Why? Because let's say maybe that tumtum is really a nekefa, and the tumtum he's trying to be motzi is really a zachar. Like we said, since his simanei, his private parts are covered, and we don't know which one he is. So therefore, he can't be motzi anybody. But androgynous, because an androgynous is a safek, just had it treated halachically, motzi et mino, avalo et she'eno mino. He can't be motzi anyone else, because maybe we treat an androgynous as a nekeva. But he can be motzi any other androgynous, because whatever that androgynous is going to be the same as that one. So their chiyuv will be the same. Misha chetzio eve v'chetzio ben chorin. Eino motzi lo et mino, avalo et she'eno mino. Okay? He can't be motzi others like him or anyone else for that matter. We're going to get to him in a minute why that's the case. Amar mar. Hakol chayavim b'tkiyat shofar konim levi'im b'yisraelim. So first the Gemara says, I don't understand this line. Pshita, obviously. Right? Ihani lo machayve ma machayve. If these guys aren't going to be chayev, who else is going to be chayev? Obviously konim levi'im b'yisraelim. Why does it have to specify that? Also, it could just say, right, everybody. It doesn't have to say konim levi'im b'yisraelim. Usually we don't have that listed. So what do they say? Specifically here, they need to mention it. Kohanim itzrichale. Had to mention Kohanim, why? Sal kadat hachamina ho'il b'ktiv yom tru'ai yelachem. Mandalete ele b'tkia d'chad yoma hu d'mechaev. V'hane Kohanim ho'il v'itnihu b'tkia d'kol shana d'ktiv u'tkatem b'chatzotrod alolotechem. Em alolichaeve kama shmalan. What does it say in the Torah? Yom tru'ai yelachem. This is a special day of blowing. So what might you think? For the Kohanim, every day they would blow the chatzotrot when they brought the korbanot, because it says, "Utkatem b'chatzotrot alo lotachem v'alzebchei shalmechem." So what do you think? The Kohanim, for this it's not a special day. It's not a Yom Teruah. So maybe they're not even chayav in tkiyat shofar. Interesting theory, right? But that because the Torah said this is a special day, so you might have thought that it's not going to, anyone who it's not a special day for, because it's just something they do every day, might not be chayav. That's why it had to list the Kohanim specifically. So now they say, what do you mean? Why are you comparing? What do you mean? For the Kohanim, it wasn't the same. Shofar was different than Chatzotrot. Every day they blew the Chatzotrot. On this day they blew the shofar. It was unique, so you wouldn't need it. What did we learn? Yovel and Rosh Hashanah are the same, okay? For the Tkia and the Brachot. So now, what might you think? Mandite b'mitzvah Yovel, ite b'mitzvah to Rosh Hashanah. V'hane Kohanim, now we're going to learn something new about Kohanim and Yovel, which you probably didn't know. Ho'il v'litnihu b'mitzvah di Yovel. They're not included in the mitzvah of Yovel. And therefore, you might have thought, they're not included in the mitzvah of Tkiyat Shofar. Since Yovel and Shofar are equated, you might have thought that was the case, and therefore comes to teach us not. How do we know that they're not included in Yovel? What does that mean? Titnan, Kohalim v'levim, Mochrim le'olam v'goalin le'olam. Okay, so therefore, I'll explain that in 1 minute. I'm just going to finish the sentence. So therefore, you might have said, Eima b'mitzvah d'Rosh Hashanah lo lichayvu. You might have thought they're not chayv in the mitzvah of Rosh Hashanah. Kamash malan that you are. Now, what's this issue? Remember we learned about this, that when you sell your house, right, in a Beit Choma, you can redeem it for up to a year. And if you don't redeem it from up to a year, it belongs to its new owner and you can't redeem it back. Usually people would sell a field because they need the money. So they give you a year to buy it back, and after that, the owner can say, I don't want to sell it to you. Kohanim can always buy it back, and Levim. Okay, that's number one. Number two, Goalim la'olam. Right? When things go back, they can always redeem their property forever. Okay? When things go back to their original owner, right? After Yovel, you can't redeem anymore. Wait, what's the issue of redeeming? Em kachim? Lo goalim achar Yovel pachot mishana.
The point is they can sell it and they can redeem it.
Right. They can both sell and redeem their land from the owners. Okay.
At any time.
Right. They're not bound by this time frame of the yoga. Misha chetzio eve v'chetzio ben chorin. Eino motzi lo et mino v'lo et she'eino mino. So Amar Rav Huna, ul'atzmo motzi. But he could, it doesn't talk about, right, what's interesting. In all these people, it didn't say can they be motzi themselves. So obviously everyone else can be motzi themselves. Right? Because obviously you have the same chiyuv as yourself, except for who? This guy, right? What's his issue? He's half ben chorin and half a slave. So Rav Huna says, no problem. He obviously can be motzi himself because he's obviously got the same chiyuv as himself. But now, Amar le Rav Nachman, le Rav Huna, Maishna l'achirin dilo. Why can't he be motzi others? Dilo ate tzad avdut umafik tzad chirut. This guy has a split personality. He's half eved, right? And he's half free. So now, who's blowing the shofar? Which half of him? You can't distinguish between halves. His free half is, right? So what's the issue? Maybe his slave half is blowing the shofar, right? His slave half is involved. So if you say that, right? So lo ate tzad avdut umafik tzad chirut. He can't blow for some free person. So what do they say? Latzmo nami loa. He shouldn't be able to blow for himself either. Because lo ate tzad avdut dide, umapik tzad chirut dide. Okay? He can't have his free, his evan side be yotzi, his motzi, his free side. El amar Rav Nachman. So Rav Nachman disagrees with Rav Huna and says, af latzmo ino motzi. Tanya nami hachi, and he brings a braita to support his claim. Misha chetzio eve v'chetzio ben chorin, af latzmo ino motzi. There it says it explicitly. Tane ahava bere de Rabbi Zera. Okay, now we're going to talk about other issues about being motzi other people. Kol habrachot kulan afal pi sheyatza motzi. Okay, if you any bracha you want to make, like you're saying a bracha on the lulav, you're saying a bracha on Sfirat HaOmer, you're saying a bracha on anything, you can be motzi other people. Okay, even if you already did the mitzvah. Okay, you're allowed to say that bracha to be motzi somebody else. Chutz mi. Berkat HaLechem, where do we see it the most? In Kiddush. Right? People already make Kiddush, but they can make Kiddush again to be motzi somebody else. Chutz mi berkat HaLechem or berkat HaYayin. Shim lo yatsa, motzi. Vim yatsa, ino motzi. Okay? Berkat HaLechem and berkat HaYayin, if you already made the bracha, then you can't make it again for somebody else. Okay? Now, obviously, they don't mean just berkat HaLechem and berkat HaYayin. They're making a distinction between brachot, that are brachot for, you know, mitzvah or other kinds of brachot, versus brachat ha'nanim, a bracha that you make to allow yourself to eat something that you can't make for other people. Okay? By Rava, brachat ha'lechem shel matzah, u'brachat ha'yayin shel kiddush ha'yom mahu, but what about lechem of matzah, okay, the mitzvah, when you have a mitzvah to eat matzah on Pesach night, or the yayin of kiddush ha'yom mahu. Okay, now he's going to give both options. Kevan de chovahu mapik. Since it's a chovah to say this bracha, maybe he can be motzi other people and say it again. O dilma, bracha lav chovahi. Maybe you say, no, it's not a chovahi. So tashma de amarav ashi, and this is what we base our minhag on. Ki avina be Rav Papi, have a mekadesh lan. When we were in Rav Papi's house, what did we see? We saw Rav Ashi. I'm sorry, Rav Ashi said, when I was in Rav Papi's house, I saw him make kiddush. V'chi hava ate arise mi davra, when his Aris, the guy who was working for him, would come in from the fields. Have a mekadesh lu, he would also make kiddush for him. So what do you see? That you can. I'm trying to figure out what his Aris is doing in the field on Shabbos. He didn't look into that, but okay. maybe he was just doing something that you're allowed to do on Shabbat. What's the issue here? Why can you be motzi other people in a mitzvah? It's based on the klal, klo Yisrael arivim zebazeh. Everyone is responsible for everybody else, and therefore if somebody needs to be motzi, for you to be motzi them in a mitzvah, you're allowed to do that.
Oh, the comment here says it was Friday evening. It wasn't Shabbat day. So they were late, so in coming in.
Uh-huh, interesting. Okay. Right. What's interesting is, right, in general, it happens more on Shabbos morning, maybe just because it's the nature of the day. I've never seen people be motzi other people in Kiddush Friday night.
Right?
It's very rare that, I mean, usually it's rare that you come across a situation where you'd have to be motzi someone later. But, sometimes it happens, and nobody ever is motzi anyone else. Anyway, nowadays, it's less of an issue to be motzi someone else, because as long as someone can do it on their own, mm-hmm. which everyone now knows how to make a bracha. I mean, you see oftentimes women want a man to be motzi them in kiddush, but even that, in our circle, certainly, it's much less common. Most women will just make kiddush on their own. Okay. Tana Rabbanan. Lo yifros adam prusa la'orchin, ela en ken ocheli mahem. Aval poresu levanavu levnei beito kedei lechancham b'mitzvot. Here you see, you can't make a bracha for your guests, okay? It means to make a bracha for your guests unless he's eating with them. If you make a bracha, and you nehanin, for somebody else, and you don't eat, that's a problem. Mm-hmm. But you can do it for your children and your family in order to teach them, right? If you say a bracha for them, to kind of teach them the bracha, that's allowed, right? This is a very common thing. When kids are young, people make bracha for them, right? You're allowed to Shem Hashem and make a bracha to be motzi them, so that they learn how to make a bracha. Ubahalel b'megila apa pishiyatza motzi, and halel and megila come into the same category as the mitzvot, that you're allowed to, even if you already said halel, you're allowed to say it again, or Megillah, right? When somebody reads the Megillah, even if they've been Yotze, they say the bracha again on the Megillah because they're allowed to do it based on this concept of Kol Yisrael Arvim Zeh Bazeh. Even though it's interesting, the Gemara doesn't bring up the Kol Yisrael Arvim Zeh Bazeh. So the Mefarshim explain about it. Interesting, the Gemara doesn't say so, but it seems clear to the Mefarshim that that's the basis of this halacha. Hadron Alach Ra'u Beitin. We're now starting the final parak of Rosh Hashanah. Okay, parak Rabi'i. And we're going to start off on things that happened in the Beit HaMikdash that didn't happen elsewhere. And here's the famous sugya of what do you do on Shabbat? And why don't we blow the shofar on Shabbat? And nowadays, just to give you some background, they're going to say it's dependent on having a Beit Din. And there are some people who tried to... Okay, in the 1850s, there was someone who tried to reinstitute blowing shofar on Shabbat, saying that there was a Beit Din and we can do it. And I think it was in... Tiberia, if I remember correctly, but somewhere in Israel. I don't remember where. Nowadays, Rav Steinzaltz came out and said we can blow the shofar in Eretz Israel because we have a Beit Din. There's different opinions about it. As you know, the general practice is not to do it on Shabbat.
Has anybody ever heard it blown on Shabbat?
Here, personally, I've never heard it blown on Shabbat. But people, you know, there are people who do it. It's rare. But there are people who do it and claim, based on this Gemara, that you can do it on Shabbat. So let's read. Yom Tov Shor Rosh Hashanah Shechal Liyot B'Shabbat. Okay, when Yom Tov falls out on Shabbat, B'Mikdash Hayu Tok'in Avalo B'Medina. Okay, now there's a big machloket. What's B'Mikdash? Is Mikdash just in the Beit HaMikdash, or is it also Yerushalayim? Okay, that's number one source of machloket between the Mefarshim. Mishacharav Beit HaMikdash Hitzkim Rabban Yochanan Ben Zakkai Sheyu Tok'in B'Kol Mekom Sheyesh Bo Beit Din. Okay, once the Beit HaMikdash was no longer around, again, we see Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai who's dealing with this Churban and how do we deal with it and how do we adapt the halakha. Part of their issue was they didn't want to forget what was going on. So they made some sort of a siman. It sounds very much like Shushan Purim, right? Anywhere that has a walled city that was similar to Shushan, right? Here, anywhere that has a Beit Din, right? It doesn't have to be even, right? It doesn't have to be Yerushalayim. For sure it wasn't Yerushalayim. Anywhere that has a Beit Din can be, you can blow the shofar. Amar Rabbi Elazar, lo itzkim Rabban Gamliel ben Zakkai. Now there's a machloket about what he was matzkin. Ela biYavne bilvad. Okay, he only said it in Yavne. He didn't mean any Beit Din. He meant in Yavne, where the Sanhedrin Agdola was. Amru lo echad Yavne veechad kol makom sheyesh bo Beit Din. So they said to him, Yavne or any place where there's a Beit Din. Okay, the Gemara is going to read this statement as if this is a third opinion. There's three opinions. There's the Tana Kama that said, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai made a takana that anywhere where there's a Beit Din. There's Rabbi Elazar who said only in Yavne, and then there's Chachamim who came and said Yavne or any other place where there's a Beit Din, which sounds very similar to Tana Kama. But the Gemara is going to ask that, like, how could it be a third opinion if it's the same as Tana Kama? And they're going to give a small distinction between the two. Ve'od zot, and then they say all the more so. Haytai Yerushalayim yitera al Yavne. There's another way that Yerushalayim was better than Yavne. Shekol ir shahaya ro'eh v'shomat u'krova v'yichola lavo tok'in. U'b'yavne lo yu tok'in ela b'beitin b'vad. In Yerushalayim, every city that would see or would hear, right, this very much sounds like Shushan Purim, right? If you see, if you're close, right, you can hear. Shofar and Megillah are very much similar. You know, they're equated in lots of ways, and here you really see it. Okay, if you can see or hear or close, okay, three things. See, hear, or close, right? You could be close but not see or hear, depending on if it's on a hill or a valley. And you can come, okay? You can walk there on Yantif. Then, in those places, also you'd be Tokeh. Okay, just like places that read like Shushan, right? Like read like Yerushalayim, even though they're not in Yerushalayim, they're close to Yerushalayim. They also read the Megillah. They don't have to come to the Yerushalayim to blow, but they would also blow. But B'Yavne, they would only be Tokeh in the Beit Din. Okay, it doesn't have the same rules as, right? So if there's a Beit Din in Yerushalayim, then anyone who can hear, see anything Yerushalayim, that's fine. But in Yavne, it was just in the Beit Din Bilvad. Now we want to know the source for the fact that we don't blow the shofar on Rosh Hashanah normally in anywhere outside of Yerushalayim or outside the Mikdash or outside a place where there's no Beit Din nowadays. Minane mile. Amar Rabbi Levi bar Lachma, Amar Rabbi Chama bar Chanina. Ketuv echad omer Shabbaton zichron trua, veketuv echad omer Yom trua yelachem. Okay, in one place when it talks about Rosh Hashanah, it says zichron trua, and in one place it says Yom trua. How do we write this? sugya infiltrated into our davening. If you notice on Rosh Hashanah when it's Shabbat, we say Zichron Shua instead of Yom Shua. That's based on this. Lo kashya, kam b'yom tov shechali op Shabbat, where we only have Zichron Shua, and kam b'yom tov shechali op Chol, where it's a Yom Shua, it's a day of blowing, and the other one is just a remembering that we blow, but not that we actually blow. Amarava, imi d'oraita hi, b'mikdash hechi takina. If it's really asher mi d'oraita, right, based on this Zichron Shua, it means that you can't blow the shofar on Shabbat. We really learn from the Torah, how could you blow the shofar in the Mikdash then? How could they allow it in the Beit HaMikdash if it really is Aser? Ve'od, ha'lav malachahi de'itzrich kralim yute. They're saying, if the Pasuk has to say it's only Zichron Shua because it's Aser to blow, what kind of Iser is there in blowing the shofar? Whoever said there's an Iser malacha in blowing the shofar. De'tana de'bei Shmuel, we're going to see it's not a malacha. Kol melechet avodah lo tasu. What's Aser? Melechet avodah. Yatzah, what's yotzei min haklal hazeh? What doesn't appear in melechet avodah? Tkiat shofar u'rediat hapat shehi chochma ve'ena melacha. These two things we learned about the rediat hapat, when they would tear the bread off of, they would remove it from the oven. That was like a special talent you had to have to do that. And it's a chochma ve'ena melacha. And therefore, both these things aren't yisurei melacha. So how could you have a pasuk which says you can't do this, right? You only do zichron shua, when there's no Isser involved. What's the Isser? Ella amarava midoraita mishroshare. Okay? It's therefore he rejects this first opinion and he says, midoraita, it's mutter to blow the shofar. But why is it Isser? And this we've learned before. Varabananu de gazerbe kidiraba. It's according to Rabba, de amarava hako chayvim bitkiat shofar, ve'ein hako b'ki'im bitkiat shofar. Everybody blows the, everybody is chayvim bitkiat shofar, but they're not all b'ki'im. And tkiat shofar, they don't all know how to blow, and therefore, what are we worried? Gzer Hashem yitzlenu biyado v'yelech etzela b'kilu mod v'yavirenu arba amot b'rishit arbim v'haynu tama delula v'haynu tama debegila. It's the same reason by lulav. It's the same reason by megillah. We're worried that you're going to take it to somebody else to learn how to do it, and therefore you're going to carry it darlet amot b'rishit arbim, and that's the issue. Okay. I just remembered that I didn't point this out. When we talked about a kochayvim b'tkiat shofar, the one thing they didn't mention there was women. Okay? Now women, the chayv or not? B'tkiat shofar.
Yes.
Yes? Everybody agrees they're chayv in b'tkiat shofar? Women are patur from b'tkiat shofar. Okay? Because the mitzvah aseh shazman grama. It's one of the cases. Now, you won't see a woman who's not makpida, right? It's very rare to see a woman who's not makpida to do b'tkiat shofar. Why is that? Because at a certain point it became a minhag, and at a certain point the minhag is oker halacha. It's one of those good examples of the fact that people do it. It becomes so set that it became a chiyuv on women. But women from the base halacha, they're patur from tkiat shofar. Just so you should know. But it's not relevant anymore because the minhag had such strength that it's the case where they talked about that the minhag basically became halacha, and women are now chayavot in tkiat shofar. But in the time of the Gemara, women were p'turah from tkiat shofar.
Same thing with parashat zachor.
Zachor. First of all, there's no right zachor. No, zachor is a mitzvah on women and men.
It is.
Because from the Torah, if you look in the Sefer HaChinuch there, it says, zachor tasher salacha malek is a chiyuv on men and women.
I would have guessed different. That it was, but I'm just wondering whether it was the same history.
Right, so no. So there it actually is, a mitzvah midoraita. Okay.
But that's a qualitative difference between like the mitzvot that women took on upon themselves, like when they say Nashim Tzadkaniyot, and that they became more makpidot and
Nida
and things like that.
Right.
It's not the same
it's
basis.
Different. No, it's not the same thing. That's different. Well, that also became halakha. But this is different because we're talking about a mitzvah. Are you chayv in a mitzvah or are you patur in a mitzvah? The Shevanikiyim is a different, it's details of a mitzvah, right? It's the pratim and what the minhag was, but here we're talking about you chayv in a mitzvah or you not chayv in a mitzvah. And there it's clear from the sources.
Right.
It doesn't come up here. I'm sure it's mentioned somewhere else. I don't recall right now. I'm sure it's mentioned in the sugya in Kiddushin where it talks about which mitzvot she's chayav, which mitzvot she's patur. I'm pretty sure it's in the list there. And it's clear that women are patur from shofar. But they've taken it upon themselves and basically became a chiyuv.